Shall we stand as we read the word of God today? We're reading from John chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. This being the month of uncommon reception. And today we are talking about this uncommon reception activated. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. This is God's word, and God's people say,
amen.
Please, we may be seated as I pray. Father, we thank you for a nice, beautiful, wonderful celebration as we celebrate Fathers. And Father, thank you for every person who has come. We continue to thank you for those who are online, those who are in the pavilion, those who are in person here. We say thank you. And Father, even as your Son speaks your word, break it to us and glorify yourself through this word. Because we pray in Jesus' name, and God's people say,
amen.
Amen and amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor you're looking good. Better than yesterday and tomorrow. This week, you will shine in Jesus' name. Meta, meta. Sparkle, sparkle. Shiny, shiny. Where? Come on, give God another hand. The last 2 weeks I've been away. At the beginning, I was in Mombasa as we took a team from Parkee to be able to join with the pastors in Likoni, and we had a wonderful time. Towards the end of that that time of conference, I had a wedding on the 31st of May. One of the pastors, who was actually the chair of the pastors, got married, and I was there to bless the marriage. Hallelujah. This pastor had been married for a long time, never officiated the marriage, and so we were able to talk to him. He was able to engage his parents, tell your neighbor amen. And then he was able to get to the AG's Sharia house, sort out issues there, actually officiated at the AG's, and then on Saturday we came and blessed the marriage, and it was a wonderful day. Amen. On that particular day, it rained and rained and rained. But the wedding did not stop. We finished it. We blessed him. The parents who had disowned him because he came from the background of SDA, and when he became a believer and things like that, started preaching, they didn't really like him. And they thought that these people who go to church on Sundays have gone away from the faith. But these parents came to Mombasa for the first time in their life to see what the son was doing, and they were able to speak during that marriage blessing. What a testimony that in his time, God makes all things beautiful. Then last week, actually this week, we had what we call the Africa Conference, and we had 8 nations represented: Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Malawi, South Africa, Rwanda, Burundi, and we thank God for that amazing conference. I was hosting, being the chair of the Africa, of the Kenyan chapter. What a blessing to have connected and engaged in that service. And today, through the men's fellowship, they said, Pastor, you're the one to preach. So I said, I will preach, and I will share the word of God. I want to talk to fathers, I want to talk to men, but I want to talk to all of us, because this theme, uncommon reception activated, is something that is so key, very important in our spiritual lives. The Bible says in the verses that I read earlier, he came to his own people. But the sad thing is that his own people did not receive him. That word receive is very key, because that is the uncommon reception. To receive. And many times God has given everything for us. He has supplied everything. The challenge that God has is that nobody seems to receive what he has provided. Jesus came to save the lost, but there are still many people who are lost. Not because the Lord doesn't want to save them, but not many want to receive this salvation. And so today, as I share, I want to talk about three attitudes that we must have as we receive this blessing. Number one, attitude that one of the attitudes that a man, God is looking for a man after God's own heart. God is looking for a man after God's own heart. Number two, God is looking for a man who does not falter. And number three, God is looking for a man who works the works. Ladies and gentlemen, that verse in John chapter 1, verse 12, to those who received him, who believed, there's a very key statement there. Who believed? Because it is in believing that you receive. It is in receiving you become. And it's not only in matters of salvation. It is in matters of very different cadres of life. That if you don't believe, you won't receive. And if you don't receive, you won't become. That is a principle that non-believers and believers use in life. It's a principle. It's not just for believers. It's a principle, even for those who are non-Christians. And we have found that non-Christians have been able to achieve a lot of things. Why? Because they believed in a vision. And in believing that vision, they received that vision. And receiving that vision in their spirits, they became what that vision was all about. It is us who know Christ, Jesus Christ, that we don't put that principle into action. And so today, we want to just come back to say, let's activate uncommon reception. And it is having those three attitudes. First of all, we need to be a man after God's own heart. The Bible says this about David, who was a man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22. Let me read those verses. Acts 13:22. After removing Saul, which was a very sad time, after removing Saul, he made David their king. The interesting thing is that God testified concerning him, and he said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. This was amazing. Because when God spoke to Saul and said, I've rejected King Saul. And David was wondering, so if King Saul is not there, who else is there? Then God says, I have found myself a man. If Jesus came into here, into this church, I don't know if you could say, I have found a man after God's own heart. And so when Samuel went to the house of Jesse, all the seven brothers stood up. The first brother, the Holy Spirit said, not that one. Second, not that one. Third one, not that one. They went up to number seven. And you can imagine what kind of family David was in. It was a family that even as the last child, he was not remembered. So he stayed with the sheep. While he stayed with the sheep in the fields, he sought God. Amen? He looked for God. He touched God. And God says, that's the one. One of the Psalms David talks about is Psalms 27 verse 1. Now listen to what he says. Because it is believing in God's majesty. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Then he says something that is marvelous. He says, one thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord a few days, all the days of my life. And you know God noticed them. God saw that heart. And you know that's one of the attitudes that will cause us to believe, receive, and become. Whether in business, if you're a man after God's own heart, you'll be able to believe God. Receive what God has in store for you and become what God wants you to become. And David was that kind of a person. In another Psalms 103, he praises the Lord. And this is what he says in that psalm. He says, "Praise the Lord, my soul." Now, he's not praising him because they are with many people. He says, no, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems you, your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things? Good things. Good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And then he says, as a father. Hallelujah. He got to know this father. Because David was not a perfect man. David made all kinds of mistakes. Then he says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. David was a man after God's own heart. And that is one of the attitudes that made him receive from the Lord. And when he went to face Goliath, not knowing that he was going to face Goliath that day, he was just going to visit his brothers and then found there was a serious situation. And then he says, the Lord who saved me from the lion and the Lord who saved me from the bear, the Lord will bring down Goliath. And for sure that day, David without a sword, and by the way, you need to realize this, Chair PDB, that at that time, all the Israelites, there were no swords. There were no spears. Why? Because the Philistines are the ones who used to sharpen the spears and the swords of the Israelites for a pay. They had to pay for that to happen. And during this time, nobody has a spear, nobody has a sword, except King Saul and Jonathan. So there was no other weapon. And the only thing that David had was that day was a sling and a stone. And let me tell you this, when you believe in God, when you receive from God, when you become what God wants you to be, it doesn't matter what weapon is fashioned against you. You shall prosper. I'm saying you shall prosper in Jesus' name. You shall prosper because God is fighting for you. One time David said, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. And then he says, but we shall trust in the name of the Lord our God. This was a man after God's own heart. This is a man sometimes who would get depressed. This is a man who would one time come and say, God, where are you? Why are you? Have you forgotten me? He says, God, you're fighting against me. What is wrong with you? Because let me tell you this. After David was anointed, it took nearly 14 years for him to come to the throne. King Saul sat for 40 years on the throne. And King David one day got an opportunity to kill him. And David says, I cannot kill the anointed. That is a man after God's own heart. David had his own problems. Hello? He loved women. I am saying, he loved women. He was given a wife by King Saul. Then in his fighting days, he saw a lady called Abigail, who thought that her husband was a foolish man. Hello? I don't know what your wife is thinking about you right now. And David, in a time of anger, was about to kill that entire family. Abigail, in her wisdom, came and said, hey, don't be angry. I know you're hungry. So if it is food you want, I'll give it to you. Go, relax, man. Take it easy. And he was able to relax, eat that food with his men, And when her husband heard what had happened, he kind of got a shock, fell down and cracked his neck and died. And David found an opportunity. Hello? And married Abigail. And much later, in his later days, saw Bathsheba bathing naked, looked through the window, and said, "I want that lady." That's David for you. The husband showed up. David says, told his men, "Take him at the front lines. Let him be killed." And the poor Jamaa got killed. Bathsheba got pregnant, and God says, "No, this child is not going to be born." David cried and prayed, "Lord, make this child come." And God says, "You're not going to have this child." And that child died. David cried his heart out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's David, a man after God's own heart. Hello? And it is not because he said, "I'm a man after God's heart." God testified of him. There is a man after God. What did God see in this heart? And that is why his attitude, he was able to believe and receive and become what God had wanted him to become. And God in his mercy, when Bathsheba got another child by the name of Solomon, God allowed Solomon to become the king of Israel. You see, when you're after God's own heart, God, you do not have a license to do anything. But you are in a position where even when you fall down, you'll rise up. The Bible says a man may fall 7 times, but he rises up again. It is not how many times you fall. It is time when you rise up. That is important. Men are men. One time I was driving, bringing Martha from work, from Nairobi Hospital, and we passed through Valley Road, and we were just going down Valley Road quite some time back, not recently, some time back. And as we were driving down, I saw on the side of the road a creation of God. And I began to behold the creation of God, and Martha is sitting next to me. Hello? And Martha elbowed me while I was driving, because after we passed her, I kept looking at her through the rear mirror. And Martha was saying, "What are you doing?" I told her, "I am beholding the creation of God." But thank God, Ambrose is a man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. Somebody better give God a big hand and say, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, there are some husbands who are sitting here looking very innocent. Just look at them. Hello? It is so good that they got saved and they're in this church. Thank you, Jesus. But it is my prayer they will remember that regardless of how many creations are around you, look at the creator of the universe. Look at the creator of the universe. He'll keep you there. That is why David survived all kinds of crazy things that men go through. And so don't fall and feel, "Oh, now God doesn't love me. I don't have to repent many times." Let me tell you this. The moment you make God the focus of your life, these other things will just fall from you, one at a time, at a time, at a time. But focus on who? God. But very quickly, I want to go to this other attitude. A man who does not falter. A man who does not waver. This is Abraham. Let me read those verses in Romans chapter 4. The Bible says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations." He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. Whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Then the Bible says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be." Then this verse, "Without weakening in his faith." He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb also was dead. The Bible says, yet he did not waver. You see, Abraham had gone through quite a number of years of training. At 75, when he was called, he was so young in his faith, and his faith would be challenged by small things. You remember that he even lied about Sarah, that Sarah is my sister. Small things. But he was growing in faith. Later, a family situation came up where Lot and his men were in an altercation, and they had to separate. It was not a very nice time, a painful time. But Abraham's faith was growing. Much later in Genesis 15, he begins to tell God, God, you have not given me a child. Kwani, what is wrong with you? Much later in the next chapter, he got a child through Hagar. But there reached a day when the Bible says that Abraham had lost all hope. He was now 100. Sarah was 90. He could not have ability to have a child. Sarah could not have an ability to have a child. He now totally depended on God. And that is, those are the moments when everything has been taken away from you. Everything has been broken away from you. You have no other place to turn. The Bible says, he did not waver. Through unbelief. Because he could have started telling God, I don't believe in you. I don't trust in you. You promised, you have not made it happen. But the Bible says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. The facts were looking at him directly in the eye. But let me tell you this, it doesn't matter what kind of facts are looking at you. God is bigger than your facts. I'm saying God is bigger than your fact. I'm saying God is bigger than your fact. You may be bankrupt at this moment in time, but let me tell you this, God does not rely on your bank account. I'm saying God does not rely on your bank account. You may have been conned money and a lot of it, and you're wondering, how will I rebuild myself? That is a fact. God's fact is this: my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And so Abraham did not waver, did not falter concerning the promise of God. Let me finish that verse. Yet he did not waver through the unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as what? Righteousness. God is looking for that man. God is looking for that man. God is looking for that woman. A man who does not falter. But thirdly, God is looking for a man who works the works. Let me read John 6, 28 to 29. Again, this is about believing. Believing in God's majesty. Believing in God's declaration, his word. But also believing in God's activation. It says this. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. What he's saying is this, don't try to do the miracles. Miracles are God's works. But do the work that leads to the works. And the work that leads to the works is what? Believe. Believe. Let me read John 14, 12. Jesus said this again about believing. He says, very truly, I tell you, whoever, so look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, whoever means you. Yes, don't try to think about somebody who is holy, somebody who is so spiritual. It is you I'm talking to. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than this, because I'm going to the Father. Look at another verse, Mark 9:23. This was a situation a father was facing. A very difficult time. If you can go to verse 19, so that I can bring it down together. Verse 19. Mark 9:19. Jesus was speaking to these people who were experiencing a very difficult time. And the Bible says, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Jesus said, "You unbelieving generation." The whole generation was not believing. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything..." Now look, listen to that. That's our prayers. That's the Father's prayer. If you can just do something. "Lord, if you can just do something. Do the miracle. Lord, if you can just do something. Anything. Take pity on us and help us." Jesus turns that statement around and says, "If you can..." Did you just say, "If I can"? Did you just say, "If I can"? Because with God, all things are possible. And in telling the Father, "If you can, Jesus, let me tell you what you need to do. Everything is possible for one who believes. The problem is not with me. The problem is with you. If you can believe, all things are possible." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe." Now he panicked. "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him. Never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. I'm talking to situations in your families. They're about to stand up. I'm saying they're about to stand up. But God is saying, "Can I find a believer in that house? Can I find a believer in that workplace? Can I find a believer in this nation? Can I find a believer? Can I find somebody who actually believes? Forget these guys who call themselves believers and they don't believe. We call them unbelieving believers. And many of them happen to be in church. They are believers, but they don't believe. But they are basically not in this church. They are in other churches." Hallelujah. Give your neighbor a high five and tell them, "We are the believers who believe." Hallelujah. Now look at them again. Scrutinize them. Scan them. Just check. Are they telling the truth? Somebody's looking at their husband and saying, "Yeah, ebu ebu ongea, ongea tusikie." Believers. Tell your neighbor, believers. Believers. Amen. Tell your neighbor, believers. Tell the other neighbor, believers. Believers. I had something that I wanted to read for you. It's right here. Because I want to tell you about some believers. I don't know if you remember the Wright brothers. The Wright brothers. It starts with a W. If you're from Murang'a and you say the Light brothers, it is the W, Wright brothers. These brothers had seven. There were seven siblings of a bishop. And their father used to go everywhere. But these two brothers began to believe that they could put together a plane and the plane could fly. There's one time when the father heard they were coming up with those kinds of stories. Because the father believed only eagles can fly. And when the sons were saying, you know, we are going to get this plane to fly. We're going to make this thing fly. There were many doubters. Many doubters. But when you get somebody who believes, you cannot change their mind. And these brothers believed. And they were the first ones to cause a plane. Though it did not fly very far, they were the ones who were able to cause a plane to fly. They are remembered in history books, the Wright brothers. They believed that they could fly a plane, and they did. There's another guy called Graham Bell. Do you know that person? Graham Bell, what is he known for? He's known for the telephone. In fact, the word Bell, Kengele, Bell, comes from his name. He was able to put together the telephone. He was working in things like of speaking and causing things to happen. And do you know, his wife was deaf and his mother was deaf. And yet in that situation and circumstance, he was able to give the world something that today has made life so easy. Until now we have wireless telephones. Walking around with those phones, you know, you do not know that there was a guy called, you know, Graham Bell. Why? He believed. He believed. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in the earth, looking for a man that he may show himself mighty on their behalf. Are you that man? Are you that woman? May you be that man. I'm saying, may you be that man. May you be that woman in Jesus' name. Another man was called Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein had issues when he was in class in primary. Hello? Do not despise the day of small beginnings. That guy in class, he could not shika anything. Shika is a Swahili word. Let me give you a Hebrew word. He could not nyita anything. Why? Because by the time the teacher was starting a calculation, he already had the answer. He calculated that thing and finished. And so while the teacher was still going on, he had to look for something else to occupy him. This man grew up and believed. And I don't know if I ever told you about the story of the mother. Hello? I didn't tell you. I did. Maybe you have just forgotten. But the teacher had written a letter and given it to Albert Einstein. And the letter said to the mother, your boy cannot catch anything in class. Please do not send him back to school. When the mother looked at the letter, he said, Albert, let me read for you what the teacher said. The teacher said, he has never found such a smart person like you. And he said that you're going places and you're going to be a great man. Let me ask you, did the mother lie? The mother saw beyond the fact on the paper and saw the reality in God and said, you are going to be great in the land. You're going to be mighty. And Albert believed that's what the teacher said. And believed that's what the mother said. And this man became awesome. But the thing is this. He believed. Tell your neighbor, believe. Believe. Tell your neighbor, believe. Believe. Another man is Nelson Mandela. I don't know if you remember Nelson Mandela. He was in prison. By the way, one of the formulas that Albert Einstein came up with, if you know physics, is what we call E is equal to what? MC squared. E stands for energy. M stands for matter. C stands for the speed of light. Hello? So if you're going to form energy through matter, connected with the speed of light squared, and you're going to get energy. Some of you are saying, "Iyo imetupita." Imenda, 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 imenda. But you see, what he came up with, the theory of relativity, changed the way physics approached situations of life. And by the way, you need to know that you are actually doing physics by sitting on that seat. Physics is happening by sitting on that seat. You're putting pressure on that seat. And pressure is equal to force over area. The reason why your seat has not broken because of your pressure is because the force that you are putting on that seat, the area is too big for the force to make a difference. Hello? Hiyo tena imetupita. Nelson Mandela was in prison for 27 years. But he believed in the freedom for South Africa. He believed and believed and believed. And in 1994, South Africa, he became the president of that nation. My friends, Nelson Mandela would have given up 27 years. After coming out, you'd have just said, forget this thing. I don't think anything will change. But he came out, and the nation believed in him. And he believed in freedom. And he got that freedom. Another gentleman that you now know very well by the name of Ibrahim Traore. Hallelujah. Ibrahim Traore. Interesting enough, he was born in 1988. Just the other day. He's now around 37, 38 years. The president of Burkina Faso. The second youngest president in Africa. And if you go to his story and just listen to him, regardless of all the things that have been said about him, I think deep down, he believed in a Burkina Faso that would be free from the ruling of the France and the French. A man who believed, just born the other day. Ask your neighbor, when were you born? But don't ask the ladies. The ladies are exempt from this question. The ladies should not answer. Akuka, when were you born? 50 years ago. Yeah, you said you have your birthday. 50 years ago. Jama is 37. 38. Which country are you ruling? Oh, umesaidiwa. There's a lady here who says his house. Come on, let's celebrate this man. Hallelujah. Are you related to this man? But it's true. Bwana asifiwe. Just in church, think about it, because God has a plan for each one of us. What have you done? What have you believed in? Do you really believe in yourself? Let me finish by this gentleman. There's another one. There's a guy called Caleb Levitan. Caleb Levitan. Have you ever heard of that name? Caleb Levitan. Caleb Levitan is a 14-year-old South African who has achieved the title International Master in Chess at 14 years. Just achieved it this year in 2025. Last year, it was a Ghanaian, 14-year-old Ghanaian. Now it is a South African boy, 14 years. And the reason why I underline that name, Caleb Levitan, is because I know another Caleb. Hallelujah. I know another Caleb. And I know these children of ours are going to be mighty in the land. Come on, let's celebrate our children. All they needed to do was to do what? Believe. Help them to believe. And then you believe. Bwana asifiwe. Believe. You see, this is my prayer, or this is my statement to the fathers. A father is a man who intentionally and persistently and continuously believes the promises of God. Let me say that one more time. A father is a man who intentionally and persistently and continuously believes the promises of God. When he does that, he causes the invisible to become visible. He causes the dead to become alive. He causes the unprecedented to become celebrated. This is a man who believes God. Are you that man? Are you that woman? And my prayer is this. For all the men, all the fathers, all the women, all the mothers here, my prayer is that God will shatter the unbelief systems of the mind that hinder the people of God from possessing what God has possessed for them. Unbelief systems. I can never be a millionaire. Unbelief systems. I can never be an MC. Unbelief systems. Oh, one of these days I'm going to become a chief. Somebody saying, no, you cannot become a chief. But I want to say this. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. Akuka, come. May the Lord bless you. Shall we stand? What are the three attitudes? A man after God's own heart. Next. A man who does not falter. Thirdly. And what are the works? Believing. Why don't we pray? Just take a moment and pray and remember these things that I've talked about. Father, why don't you pray? Just thank God for the fathers around us. Thank God for that man after God's own heart. Thank God for the man who does not falter. Thank God for a man who works the works of God. You are that man. Believe it. You're that woman. Believe it. He lives in you. He walks with you. He talks with you along life's narrow way. This Jesus is able to make all things possible. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this Father's Day. And we know that for those who believe, nothing shall be impossible for them. And as we believe, we shall receive. And as we receive, we shall become. Dear Lord, may that be our portion. May that be our portion. Maybe there's a man here who has been discouraged to the point of now wanting to give up. But I'm talking to you, my brother. Don't give up. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro in the earth, looking for a man that he may show himself mighty on his behalf. Be that man. tell God, I want to be that man. Lift me up. Abraham was 75. But his miracle came at when he was 100. David was 17 years old. But he became a king around 47 years. It is never too late. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, will he not do it? Has he spoken, will he not fulfill it? Believe this God. To those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the power to become. May you be that man. May you become all that God has created you to be. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord enlarge you. May the Lord strengthen you in this season and time. And in your weakness, may you be strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. It's never too late. The facts may be in front of your eyes, but the Bible says, it is those who seek the truth that the truth will set them free. May this be your portion. For you, a father in your family, may you arise and become a pillar in that home. A pillar that can never be broken. A pillar that God can build upon and show himself mighty. You may have failed many times, but that was yesterday. Your tomorrow is bright. And so surrender yourself today to God, because he's going to do great things. Greater things than this shall he do for those who believe in him. If you believe in this word that I've prayed, you better say, I receive it. I take it. It is my portion. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Now you better give God a big hand and tell him thank you. Amen.